Okay, today is January 28th, 2016. This is Wanda Buckner reading for Diane Westbrook. And today we are asking that one of the animals who was dear to her heart come forward and share three past lives that have meaning and purpose in Diane's life today. And who I'm seeing is Red, and hello, Red, and I'm asking Red's purpose in your life, and Red is clear that her purpose was to teach you that animals have feelings and suffer the same emotional challenges and joys as humans do. They can feel rejection, the joy of birth, the pain of death for a child. And he wants you to know that he had been lame a long time. She had been lame a long time. And a horse that's lame on one foot, all the other feet go too. It's just not possible. Like a dog can be three-legged, but a horse really can't. And she knew that her time had come, and she also knew that that it was becoming more and more painful, and in those days there wasn't a lot to be done, and there wasn't any purpose in doing it because it could not be solved. And so she says you shouldn't feel badly because it was not horrible or awful. She didn't regret going. She felt her life was complete. She was sorry she couldn't see the foal grow, but the foal would have left. You know, it's the nature of horses that the foal would leave at some point. And she was very sad that it was so early. But she felt really good about your life together. She loved all of it. She did not want to go to someone else. She was aware that a lame horse did not have a good life on other ranches if they continued to live, that they were often misused and worn out and thrown away. So she preferred that that it be as it was, that she wasn't all broken down and painful, and that she didn't have to wait that long. And she appreciated all the extra time you spent with her. And she really understood and knew that she could not be ridden. It was just too painful. She enjoyed it for the first moments, but after the fact, there was such a price to pay. So in a strange kind of funny way, she appreciated Sally because she didn't have that obligation anymore, but she missed the heart-to-heart connection with you. And she really appreciated when you recognized that and spent that time with her. And so looking back in past lives, the first thing I see is red as a war horse. And and war horses were treated well in a time period when horses in general were not treated well, because war horses were highly valued and they needed to be strong and hearty and healthy, and they wore armor, and the knights on them wore armor, and so they had to be large. And in this lifetime, you also were a knight, a warrior, wearing the armor, and you and your horse were a team. And you both enjoyed the fray. There was all this training and this play kind of stuff, the fake fighting, where no one was supposed to get hurt, but in reality, you know, people did get hurt. And I see you and the horse traveling across a desert area. There's a group of soldiers, and it's very, very, very bad traveling circumstances. There's not enough water. There are knights who are dying and left in their armor because you can't carry anymore. And it's very grueling, but you both survive, and are even more of a team than in the past. And you are both getting older, and you're achy from old war injuries, and Red is achy from old war injuries, and but Red keeps working because he's a strong horse who can carry things, and even though he can't be a war horse anymore, he has a phenomenal constitution, and he carries burdens, and a lot of things were done with the horsepower, and so he continued to serve an important part, and you two didn't get to live as closely anymore, because he continued to work and you had to, quote, retire, and I see you farming. But the best days of your life, the days that you tell your children and grandchildren about, are the war times and the excitement of battle and the bravery of Red and how you two enjoyed it so much. It was the highlight of your life. All the danger and the adrenaline pumping and the blood and the smells and the crash and clang. And it was also, it was odd. It was that feeling of tremendous exhilaration and coupled at the same time with tremendous loss, with pain. It was hard to get your mind around it in a way, you know, it was just the cost of war. Young men dying in their prime, horses having to be killed because they had been injured. But it was a much more physical time. It was, people died all the time. It wasn't that unusual. And dying in battle was a glorious, absolutely glorious. And your life afterwards seems sort of pale by comparison. Most of the people who rode with you at the time died earlier. And you don't know why you continued to live and your life with Red drifted apart. But the two of you always remembered those glory days. And I'm asking what the what is the relevance for this time of life, for Diane's life today? What was the purpose of this lifetime? And what I'm hearing is that all fighting isn't bad. Fighting can be fun. Fighting can be exhilarating. It's to have a strong body and use it to the ultimate degree that's possible is deeply satisfying. And the greater the risk, the greater the satisfaction. It was, and the purpose was to help Diane understand in this lifetime how other people can feel that way. For her to remember that to have no judgment about people who live their lives that way, who love the adrenaline rush, love the danger, love the risk. The higher the risk, the better. The greater the victory, the better. And it's a reminder that at one time she too enjoyed this kind of a life and loved it and lusted for it. Whereas in this day and time, it seems so she is living in a way that is actually turned this 180 degrees. And it's a reminder not to forget the pull of another way of life. And I'm seeing a horse pulling a travois, the two poles with a skin between them to carry burdens. It's a nomadic Indian group. I'm looking for where they are. I was assuming North America, but it looks like possibly South America. These couldn't be the first. People who use that method. And so, once again, Red was a valued horse. I thought male, but as I'm going to look a little more closely here. And so I'm actually getting two lives here. One is male as the stallion, and one is female, and they are in the same group. And as a stallion, he's known for his fire and his temper, and he's valuable for breeding others because of his strength. And and I'm asking if these occurred simultaneously. I'm being told no. I get that they didn't keep many stallions, that they did geld them even in those early days to decrease fights and to... interesting, the group was very sophisticated in their use of horses. And the horses had different jobs. It was stratified. But horses worked even when they were fully pregnant. You had to be strong to survive. and there weren't a lot of horses. Like, not everyone got to ride. A few men rode, the young, the strong, the really supple. But most of the people walked. The mares were used to pull. And they were also ridden, too. They didn't have the aggression of the males, though. Except I'm seeing some fights among them, and certainly more aggressive than the horses that we see today. You know, quite all right, feisty there. And I see them as much smaller. The people were also smaller, though. So I'm asking about this life. And so, Diane, I'm seeing you as a female Indian, short, stocky, like the people are, black hair. It's an interesting life. There is some wealth, but it is not evenly distributed, and it's not the wealth of food or housing. It's the wealth of decoration and ornament. So the king, the leader, has finer beaded garments and bands. The shaman has finer ornamental finery that he wears for ceremonial purposes. But in general, it's a nomadic group, not very large, that move from place to place to hunt and harvest. And so when women marry, they marry outside of this group, and women come into the group from others' areas. And so I'm asking if you have a personal relationship with red. And I see, as a mare, I see there's deep appreciation for helping carry things, because when you're tired, you can put it on the travois. And I see the word clearly, travois, and he'll... I'm asking, is that really a mare or a gelding? Unclear. And he'll carry it for you. Nice. More of a mare at this type. Oh, and then there's the foal. And you love the foal. Love that foal. And so tell me, what is the purpose of this life that's relative to Diane's life today? It was a simple life. It was very pared down. It was a communal group of family, either by marrying in, and then there was the marrying out. And what's important about it is that it was very much day to day, and it was based on the seasons. So there wasn't, it was very much in the moment. And when the moon changed and the sun's arc changed, it was time to move to the next place. And then the next place, and the next place. And so this life is about being
in the present and appreciating the small things. Red, being able to carry the extra burden, the sun and the stars, and the adequate food, and it was a calm life. There wasn't much excitement, in great contrast to the other life. And the purpose of showing this life is to show that there is great satisfaction in an ordinary life, where nothing spectacular happens. Life just goes on. Life just happens. It's interesting to see the stark contrast, and that both lives were deeply satisfying. Very deeply satisfying and fulfilling, even though they were polar opposites. And so it appears that Red stayed with this group for more than one incarnation. And so I'm asking for a third past life. That has relevance to today. And the image that comes up is of a, it's not really a wolf. So I'm assuming it's a coyote. But it's a wild dog. And the image is of him down, crouching, head lowered, snarling, looking very dangerous. And he's very young, but he's not a baby, but he's not full grown. He's like an adolescent. And I see there's a, his foot is caught in a trap. And you are appalled. There is no way to release the trap. And you do what has to be done. You see that he's been chewing on his leg to release it, and you you actually hit him on the head with a, you found a, what you could use as a stick. You were hoping he would take it in his mouth, because you have to, somehow he has to be confined so he can't bite you. But it ends up you knock him out, and then you cut the leg off and bandage it, and carry him to a place where you can tend to him. Because you just don't want him to die. It seems so unfair. And you're young, probably a teenager or less. It's like a prairie, a sod house. And your father is against it, but you're quite determined, and there's not for anyone to survive, a human to survive something like that would be very unusual. But you steal some liquor, you bathe in salt water, you do everything you can think you might be possible, and And he does recover. But he is wild. And and he runs away when he's well enough and able enough to. And you wonder what happened. You think that he couldn't live out there alone. But now and again, for a couple years, you would see him like as if he were coming out to say hello and greet you and say, I'm still here. And this went on for a couple of years, and then you didn't see him anymore. And it looks like the family moved. But you think of him often, and that he would rather be wild and free, missing a leg, than to stay around. And the purpose of this life, the relevance for it, it's about letting go and releasing and recognizing that even the wounded have self-direction and make their choices. And letting them be truly free. And recognizing that you cannot protect or choose for others, whether it's your animals or people, that what we see as best for them may not be their path. And even if he had been killed the next day by a farmer with a shotgun, or by a or by another predator, that was how he wanted it to be. And you longed for something to love and someone to love. It was a difficult life with a harsh father and an ineffectual mother who was withering with the hardness of the life and the children, and it's not a healthy family, and there was no love, there was just survival. It was only through animals that there was a connection and a recognition of the other. Because in this lifetime you were useful but ignored. And so it was, you were as much a tool as any other animal that came. There was no respect or appreciation of you as a person or an individual. It was about work, helping the family survive, doing what was needed. And you long to be free like that coyote too. And you would have rather have taken your chances somewhere else than stay there. But options were limited. And when But when you got older and an opportunity to present it itself, you did run off. And looks like there's a man came by on a horse and you didn't even think about it. You just left. And it was a... the life that you ran to was not better. It was different. But you were very thankful. Because different was good. And you were free. And that's the point of this lifetime. It didn't have to be better. Different was good, and free was good. And you understood the choice the coyote made. Risking death was better than being in a situation that felt foreign and unnatural and didn't support who he really was, which was a hunter on the plains. Is there anything more? No, that's it. All right. Is there something you would like to tell Diane as a final comment? And Brett says, tell her I love her. I understood. I bear no grudges. I loved every lifetime. And did you recognize me in the Percheron at Healing Hearts? Well, thank you very much, Red. We appreciate it.